Welcome to The Dog Show, a podcast for dog mums and dads who like to spoil their pups and care for their well-being. I'm your host, Will Blunt, and every week I interview global experts about dog health, nutrition, behaviour, trends, and much more. Let's sink our teeth into this week's episode. This episode of The Dog Show features Taylor Wheeler. Taylor is the founder of Dog Training Lifestyle and the Pink Paw Program. She is a certified dog behaviorist and energy dog trainer that has been studying canine obedience, behavior, psychology, and training for over 10 years. In the interview, we discuss why dogs become unsettled and how you can settle a restless dog. Taylor, welcome to The Dog Show today. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, Will. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have a chat with you today. You've got a lot going on in the dog training space with some online training, and you're also doing some really good stuff with your charity for dogs as well, which we'll get to a bit later. But I want to start off by talking about yourself. So do you have a dog of your own?
I do, actually. I've recently adopted a red cattle dog probably about 4 months ago. So I actually didn't have a dog. I've had family dogs, which are absolutely beautiful. They slept over all the time and I visit them a lot. But with my kind of work, it was hard to fully commit to a dog. And that's one thing I'm always advising people. If you can't completely commit, just hold off. And I travel around a lot with work, so that was a little bit hard. But yeah, so I fell in love with a red cattle dog a few months ago, and he's absolutely beautiful. We just struggled to find him a home. He came through our charity, and he's completely deaf. He's 2 years old. So it's been really good, though. It's been good because it's so challenging. It's something that I can work on full time to really help other people. You know, we do understand every behavior of every dog that comes through our courses and our charity. But to have one that you need to work with constantly that had a lot of issues, it's been really, really good.
And how old is he?
He's two years old.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. So there must be some unique challenges with training a fully deaf dog, I imagine.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, because their bark is so loud. Like, he doesn't understand how loud he is. And he's just overly active. That's one of the biggest things. He's constantly bored, and being a cattle dog. But you can't leave him outside for too long. He gets quite anxious when he's left outside. So we have a full-grown cattle dog living inside in the house, but he has access in and out. And we're back onto a big back grassed area, so it's really good being able to exercise him and drain a lot of that energy so that he can come in and be a calm pet. But no, it's been great because we get like a lot of our dogs that we struggle to get adopted out are big dogs, and people, obviously a smaller dog can be easy and a lot easier, but it's great to be able to show how well suited a big dog can be in a family home.
Yeah, because I mean, imagine cattle dogs have, as you mentioned, a lot of energy. They're used to kind of being out on properties and running around a lot and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, definitely. So he grew up in a backyard, so we never really had that. But recently we took him up to a property and let him have a run around, and he loved it. So you can just see those instincts come out straight away in him, which is amazing.
Is there anything unique about the red cattle dog that people may not know?
So I think there's a lot of unique things about them, yeah, for sure. But one of the biggest issues that we actually have is, as you've probably heard, the nipping and the rounding up. Like, he's never been around, you know, cattle, or he's never had to show those sort of working traits. But he still runs around and nips ankles. And that's something that comes, so it is a unique trait, because I think a lot of our dogs that come through, like a lot of breeds, they have traits that they've never been taught before. And I just think that's unique in every animal, that they've never been shown this behavior, but they still display it. So it is something that we have been trying to get him out of, which we just have to constantly give him new activities and make sure his mind's focused on other things to try and break that habit. But it is hard when it's a dog's trait, but I would call it a unique trait for sure.
Yeah, I often find that so interesting with dogs in particular. Their instincts
of certain things they do when they've not been exposed to it at all before, and all of a sudden they start doing it and you're like, how do they know to do that or think to do that?
I know, it's crazy. And that's it, like, you've got your German Shorthair pointers that still point in the direction, and that was used back in the hunting days. But yeah, these dogs are way far or generation down the line, never been taught these traits, and they still come out. So I think it's absolutely incredible, and that's one thing that people don't understand in dog training and in owning a dog, is these bad behaviors are just natural instinct that we're seeing, and you need to learn to work with them and not against them. So that's something that we're always trying to push, especially with breed specific.
Yeah, that's important. So how did you get into dog training? How did that all start?
Oh, it's been a long journey for me. look, I've from the moment I was able to get into the working industry legally, when I was like 14, I started working in the animal industry, started working as a vet nurse, as well as doing alongside a lot of studies, animal studies. And I didn't really know which way I wanted to go down, but behavior always interested me. Psychology in general interests me, humans and all breeds and animals. So I ended up doing about 6 years of study, working alongside other trainers, and then became a certified trainer. I've done multiple online courses as well for psychology. And it's great for me in this industry because I get to work with people as well as the dogs, which is really important to get people to work on themselves. And I love working with people. So I think being a dog trainer really was where my passion was, being able to help people as well as their dogs. But yeah, so I've been in the industry for nearly 15 years now.
Yeah, I think it, that really resonates with me, that messaging around helping. You're basically helping the owners more than you're helping the dog, right?
I mean, oh, definitely.
Well, you've got to kind of retrain the people.
Oh, fully. Yeah, that's it. And that's where, like, most of my work now, we travel around training people, and we train online. We do correspondence training worldwide. And it's interesting speaking to different people every day. You've got totally different personalities, and what we actually have to do is match that person's personality and that family to the dog's personality and their traits. So that's where dog training, it's not what people think. Like, people say to me all the time, your job must be awesome, like, you play with dogs all day. And it's not like that. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. And I think any trainer who just teaches basic commands but doesn't actually learn about the person's history and their families and their energy, aren't really doing it right. You really have to work with the owners more so than the dogs, because the owner is the trainer for the dog, not so much.
Yeah, exactly. And they're the ones that have got to go home and, you know, do the repetition and kind of put everything in place that you're teaching them. So
yeah, definitely. So yeah.
Go on. What were we gonna say?
No, I was just going to say, yeah, we get a lot of people ask if we will just inboard train their dogs, so just send them off to get boarded, board and train, and send them back. But it's not really something that works very well unless those people are willing to take on the amount of work that you were doing as the trainer to continue to see those results. So it's very important for people to learn how to become the trainer for their dog.
That's interesting. So do you see a dog, like, for example, if they went away for a couple of weeks to you know, unlearn something or learn something,
mm-hmm.
they learn then in that environment, and then they go back to their home environment and it just kind of, they go back to doing what they were doing before? Is that what could happen?
Yeah, completely. Because they start to build that respect for you. And, like, there's been so many sessions that I've turned up to and the dog will behave really well for me, but I've practiced, like, you know, as a trainer, you have to develop a persona. You have to develop this confidence and this type of energy. And I didn't have that when I first became a certified dog trainer. That was something that I had to really learn over time. Just because you have a certificate that doesn't make you a trainer. You have to learn how to adapt to every dog's behavior and their energy. So I might have dogs behave super well for me, but then I pass the lead back over to the owner. But, you know, a lot of the time it's like kids being naughty for mum or dad compared to, you know,
that's true.
So we see that a lot. But yeah, so it's really important for people to learn how to train their dogs themselves and not just rely on someone else to do it. And that's why I love correspondence training as well. I think you really get to teach that person rather than being distracted out of the park where you don't really get to work on them and how they can build their persona.
Yeah, interesting. Well, today you wanted to talk about, I guess, settling a dog down. And I thought that was a really interesting topic that I hadn't covered before, but also one that I've had challenges with myself, and I'm sure lots of other owners have as well.
Yeah.
What do you categorize an unsettled dog as? Like, how do you know a dog's unsettled?
So there's lots of different things that we need to look at, environment as well as their behavior, but also the way that you act. So as I've mentioned before, working on yourself is a really important step in dog training. And if you want to see results with your dog, you need to make sure that you are showing the right energy and really learning how to lower your energy around your dog, because that creates an unsettled dog. So different things that to look for is if a dog's pacing back and forth throughout the house, pacing in the backyard, barking continuously at different things like birds, people, just not being able to actually calm themselves. And I think we have to look at the environment as well. So if you are out around distractions, if you're at a dog park, we kind of expect the dogs to be unsettled. But if they're in their home, which is the one place that they should be settled and calm, if they are not showing those signs, then something's going on. So they may not be pacing. They may be laying down, licking their paws, excessive yawning. These are all signs to say, okay, something's going on. Your dog's obviously feeling a little bit stressed, maybe a little bit anxious or unsettled. But one of the biggest things that we get is people coming through saying their dogs are anxious and they resort straight to putting them on medication. And we always try and look at the environment situation before we resort to that. It's important to like speak to a vet anyway, just to get a bit of an idea. Like, we don't deter anyone from looking at that. But yeah, we just need to think, okay, well, what's happening at home? Is there construction going on in the backyard? Is everyone coming home at different times of the day? Is that why our dog's unsettled? But yeah, the first thing would be to assess the situation and find out, write down exactly when your dog's doing this, so then you can speak to a behaviorist and get the right result.
Yeah, interesting you brought up anxiety, because I'm just trying to think, like, is there differences between anxiety and being unsettled, or are they kind of one of the same?
Yeah, sometimes, like, and I think anxiety is something that gets thrown around a lot. Like, you know, a dog may show signs of being anxious. They may be anxious at that time, but they may not have complete anxiety. They may just be feeling a little bit anxious. I think there's a bit of a difference there. So, and that's where we go, okay, well, maybe we don't need to get them on like an anxiety medication. If they're just anxious in that moment, let's try and fix that moment. But yeah, being unsettled, it may be a little bit of stress as well, but there's definitely a lot of roles that play in being unsettled. Like, we do find that dogs do get quite anxious in certain situations. But if they are sleeping well at night, then that's a really good sign. But if they're up and down throughout the night, then we might go, okay, look, they probably are struggling with a bit of anxiety as well.
What would you say are the most common reasons for a dog to be unsettled?
Most common reasons is usually not having a training program in place at home. So dogs love routine. They love to know what's involved in their day. And like, for example, my dog has the same routine every day. We go out and throw the ball. Then he has his breakfast. He has a drink. We do a little bit of training. I settle him down, then go to work. So he knows that that's his routine in the morning. I go to work and I'm going to come home. And then when I come home, we have another little routine. So that sort of just sets him in motion for the day. Like, he knows what's expected. And I think if dogs don't really have that, people sometimes leave the home feeling quite anxious themselves. And the way that you act is a big reason to why your dog is unsettled within the household. So if you're an unsettled person yourself, there's no routine, that's usually the biggest reason.
That's a good point. You're kind of projecting your behavior onto the dog, I imagine. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you go about, I guess, settling a restless dog if you're experiencing this in your house?
So if you are experiencing this in the house, probably the best way to settle your dog is, first of all, find out what your dog loves to do. Now, this is the most important step that people miss. They want to train for reasons that they want to and when they want to, but they're not really looking at what your dog enjoys to do. So if your dog loves to play ball, they enjoy doing some recall training, try and integrate that into your daily plans. You know, some dogs love food, so we don't want to always be giving them food, but maybe give them a ball where you can hide the treats inside and they have to roll it around to get them out, or some sort of puzzle or activity that a dog can do that revolves around food, but they have to work for it. So find what they like to do first and then try and integrate that into your morning routine and your afternoon routine if you can. And that's really going to help your dogs create that program. But one of the biggest things in the household, if your dog's really unsettled, if they're barking, go put them on a lead and do some indoor lead training. So that's a method that we use a lot throughout our training programs, indoor lead training, just because when you put a dog on the lead, you take that control away from them, you'll notice them start to settle. Like, okay, you've got this under control. I can just relax and follow you. Dogs are natural followers. So I think that's really important to integrate some indoor lead training at home.
It sounds like what you're saying is like routine and stimulation are probably the core of it. Mm-hmm. And then if you're still experiencing issues, then you kind of need to step it up and do some more targeted training.
Yeah, definitely. And like rotating toys, that's something that's really quick and easy, but it's important. So if you've got a toy box at home, just rotate the toys every couple of days, once a week, and that'll just keep your dog definitely stimulated. And different things like an ice block is one that we always recommend, especially in the summertime. It's great. So putting some treats and freezing it in an ice block, pouring that out on the grass, and they'll just lick it. And as it melts, treats will start to arise. Things like that keep them busy and intrigued is definitely going to help a dog that's not feeling settled at home. We just want them to start to focus.
Yeah, okay. I've not done the ice block one. That sounds like a cool idea, actually.
Yeah, it's great.
Although it'll probably melt in about a few seconds in a hot summer day. But
well, yeah, I use an ice cream container, so it's quite big.
Oh, big one. Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I put a ball even right in the middle of it. So right at the end, they get their treat. But yeah, you know, I'm just saying there's lots of different ways that we can like think outside the box. You don't have to just stick to the basic ball and the rope. You know, there's lots of ways to stimulate your dog, but mental activity is really important and just teaching them to lower that mind activity. But yeah, it's definitely different if it's happening out in public to happening at home. There's, you know, different ways that you need to work on it depending on the environment.
So how would you go about if your dog's like unsettled on walks or at the park or something like that? Is that a completely different ballgame?
Yeah, it is. But training definitely comes into that. So something that we work on is lowering the mind activity. So a dog's mind, if it's too overly stimulated, it's like speaking to a brick wall sometimes. You just can't break through to them.
I know what you mean.
When they're fixated. Yeah. So using a lot of eye techniques as well, so getting them to focus on you. So we just use the watch command a lot to just lower our dog's mind activity, because that's when we get the worst behavior. The dogs are pulling. Their strength is pretty out of control. So if we can calm the dog's mind, you'll find that they'll actually walk slower out on the lead. They won't be as strong, and the muscle tension in the body isn't going to be as strong and forceful. So it's easier to control them on a lead. So when you're at around distractions, definitely focus on lowering the mind activity by using the watch command, reconnecting with your dog, and trying to walk slow yourself. If you're in a rush and if you're walking at the speed of your dog, that's never going to fix the issue. The mind activity is always going to remain high. So we just recommend to try and get them in a cruisy pattern. If they keep pulling, practice turning, things like that, just to teach them that they have to flow with your energy, not the other way around.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's a big topic in itself, that the leash walking thing. So we'll be able to cover that in this one.
Yeah,
exactly. Are there any breeds that are more susceptible to being unsettled?
Yeah, like we find that a lot of, shepherds, work dogs, because they are a dog that needs a lot of mental stimulation, you will find that they will be more unsettled. Naturally they can be quite a calm and lazy dog, but if we are having issues with inside the household, especially or in the backyard, if you're not giving your dog enough exercise, you will find that those breeds will be more unsettled. Even out on your walk, they seem to always be focusing on everything else going on around them because they're always on the watch, being a guard dog. So, really trying to bring that focus back towards just you and them will help break them out of that unsettled behavior.
Cool. Well, yeah, it sounds like your routine is something that people could look to adopt, that, you know, creating the habit yourself of getting stimulation for the dog before your day starts, doing some training in the morning as well, and then scheduling in the time in the afternoon or the evening would really help.
Yeah, definitely. And it doesn't have to be hard. Like, training doesn't need to be hard. That's why we call ourselves the dog training lifestyle. It has to become part of your everyday lifestyle. So even if it's something simple like letting your dog out in the backyard, asking them to sit and stay before they exit the house, things like that, that will integrate your training into your routine, but you don't feel like you have to put time aside. So, but it's definitely building that routine at home is going to help both of you.
Mm. So the dog training lifestyle, you mentioned before we jumped on the call that the money you make from that goes into the Pink Paw program. Can you give me an overview of what the Pink Paw program is and what it's all about?
Yeah, sure. So the Pink Paw program is our charity. It's a rescue support charity. So we offer free online support throughout Australia and globally. So that's anyone who has adopted a dog who is looking for some behavioural tips, are having any sort of issues. We just get referrals through the rescue groups and the vets that we work with. And we jump on calls, Zoom calls with them. They send us videos of their dog's behaviour. Our behavioural team will analyse that. We'll write them a report and build a program for you just so you know what to do. And the point of this is to try and stop the dogs from being re-surrendered and not making it past their two-week trial. So we really try to work with people within that period of time. We also work with people who are looking at surrendering their dogs. So if they've been referred to us and the rescue groups feels like there's a chance that dog can stay within their forever home with that family, we'll try and work with them. We've got online videos, we've got courses, like I said, Zoom calls that we can set up with people just to make sure that we're there to assist wherever they need. And a lot of the time, people just need to be told that the behaviour is normal and they're not alone. And once they have that understanding, it's a lot easier for them to work with their dog. So, everything that the dog training lifestyle does, as in raising money, any of our online courses that we sell, our products, that all goes back towards supporting our Pink Paw program.
It sounds like a great program because I imagine, the whole thing is just to increase the permanent adoption rate, right?
Definitely. And stop surrendering, but take some workload off our rescue groups as well. Like, they're so busy. The foster carers are one of the biggest sessions that we work with, focusing on getting the dogs well-behaved within the foster home before they're adopted out, just so that they've got a better chance at their trials. And the rescue groups are so busy. So if anything that we can do to help them by giving their carers support as well, that's definitely something that makes a difference.
Cool. So where can people go to find out more about all this cool stuff you're doing? The website, dogtraininglifestyle.com?
Yep, you can jump on dogtraininglifestyle.com and you'll also be able to find out more about, the free information advice that we have for you, as well as our Pink Paw program that you can jump on and have a look.
Yeah, perfect. Because you've got the online course, you've got private coaching, you've got an app, and you've got a podcast of your own as well. So there's lots for people to take in.
Yes, we do. So yeah, if you follow us on socials, you'll definitely be able to keep up to date with what's going on. And hopefully we can help as many people as we can.
Cool. Well, Taylor, thanks so much for coming on the show today. I've learned a lot about why dogs are unsettled, how you can potentially settle them down as well, and also why maybe me as an owner and everyone else out there needs to take some accountability on our routines too.
Yeah, so I'm glad you enjoyed. Thank you so much for having me today, Will.
It was good fun.
All right, lovely. Thank you.